This is Carly Faison interviewing Mr. Warren Rheinmiller on February 8th, 2016. Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born on June 27th, 1925.
Where were you born?
Right here in Brunswick, about a mile from where we are right now.
And where did you grow up?
Right in Brunswick.
Okay.
I have lived within probably a mile of where I was born all my life.
Can you tell me the address of where you were born?
It was Sharp Road. There's no address there. It's just, it was a dirt road then.
So how did you come to work at Wager Brothers Dairy?
Well, they were my uncles. My mother was a Wager. And in 1932, pasteurization went into effect. And my father was a farmer, and my uncle, two uncles were the, ran my grandfather's farm. And they put together, when pasteurization went in, that they would build a plant to continue on. Otherwise, they would have had to take their milk to another plant and get the milk pasteurized there. It had to be sold that way. So they decided to do it their own way. It was my four uncles and my, the brother-in-law and Benjamin Penny. There were six of them that went in together. Yep, in 1932.
Can you tell me the brothers' names?
Oh, yeah. There was Freeman, Clifford, Elmer, and Clayton William.
So when did you start working at the dairy?
Well, I started working at the dairy in the ice cream bar. Yeah, in 1939, when they opened it up. And I was 14 years old then. They hired several of the local young men around to go to work there.
What did you do there?
I dipped ice cream. I dipped ice cream. A lot of it. I also was a milk boy. Very interesting because when we were dipping ice cream, we worked four nights a week. At least I did. And 4 hours a night, 7 to 11, and we got 25 cents an hour. And then in the morning, I was a milk boy. They delivered milk into the city, and I was a milk boy. And that was 7 days a week, Saturdays and Sundays and so on. And I got $3.50 a week for that. So, as a kid at that time, I was very well off. Because I'd have $4 in the ice cream bar, I'd have $3.50 on the milk route. It gave me $7.50 a week. That actually was more than some fathers were making working, if they were working at all. And I was able to buy all my own clothes, take the girls out, you know, and so on. It's a very interesting story. I said, taking the girls out. Well, here in Brunswick, not built up the way it is now, but square dancing was the big thing. Oh. Round and square dancing. And we would go to Carroll's Grove, over in back of Center Brunswick. Every Saturday night. Sometimes we'd take a girl, sometimes we wouldn't, but I had a girlfriend. And we would go over there, cross the corner to get in. So 50 cents, and we got in. It was dancing from 9 till 12. hot dogs were a nickel, and soda was a nickel. So if we spent, if she wanted the soda, well, I spent 10 cents more. Or a hot dog, I spent 15 cents or 20 cents. That was until 12 o'clock. And then we would go down to Troy. This was sort of a ritual with us. And to what they call Fazioli's, Fazzy's in Troy. And she would get a ice cream sundae. Cherry nut. I always remember it. Cherry nut ice cream sundae. That was a quarter. So for a dollar and a half, we went out all evening. And had a wonderful, wonderful time. Hard to believe today. But that's how it was growing up. But just remember this, too. I happened to draw the early milk route. And I had to get up at 4:30 every morning. And if I stayed out till 2 o'clock Saturday night, I still had to get up at 4:30 Sunday morning. But if I overslept a little, my father made sure I was up. But we had fun. We had fun doing all that. So it's a little history on what a young man did in Brunswick then.
Can you tell me a little bit about the products of the dairy? So you said they sold ice cream.
Well, the ice cream came on in 39, but the dairy, pasteurization, came on in 32. Yes, that milk and cream, butter, cottage cheese, buttermilk. Those were the basic things. And after a few years, homogenization came, homogenized milk. So they had to put in a new vat and so on, shall we call it. And they did the homogenized milk. But those were the basic products. They would have, as I said, buttermilk and chocolate milk. The basic products of the dairy. Yep.
What kind of flavors of ice cream did you have?
Oh, my God. You're mixing the two up here. You're mixing you're mixing the dairy and you're mixing the ice cream. Okay, the ice cream, oh, I don't know. Not nearly as many as Pam. But we would have probably 20, I'd say. They were basic. Ours, when we branched out, it would be pistachio and toasted almond fudge. That was big. That was black cherry. All the rest of the, not nearly as many as Miss Pam. Yep. So, and we didn't have in those days. They didn't make frost, shall we say, all flavors, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, and all that. We had what we called the brown cow. The brown cow was chocolate milk, and we'd put any flavor ice cream in it you wanted. Mm. The basic was vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream in the chocolate milk. But sometimes, and I don't know how they tasted because I never did, but some of the kids would come up, they'd say, put some pistachio in it, or put some black raspberry in it. I don't know how it tasted. But that was one of the big things. This was, you know, if we had a busy night there in the summertime, they'd be lined up three and four around, all around that ice cream bar. And when we got finished by almost 11 o'clock, we were pretty well beat. We still had a lot of work to do, though. But making ourselves a nice brown cow, and believe me, it would be thick with ice cream. And that's how we ended the night. After we took care of all of the customers there, and it would be quarter of 11 or so, and we were paid till 11 o'clock, but the place had to be all cleaned up, wiped up, and so on. the freezer where the ice cream was, we had to bring out the flavors that we had sold out of. We had a holding bin that we brought these out, and that had to be filled every night after we finished, so that it would be melted down for the next day. And then sometimes the strawberry ice cream, there would just be a little bit left in it. So we'd bring in a fresh can of strawberry and scrape out what was there and put that on the top. And the ice cream bin, shall we say, or cans, in the actual little bin there, or building, that had to be all filled. And that holding the tank, had to be all filled with the most popular ones. Of course, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry were the most popular ones that I can those days. Yep, so.
Who made the ice cream?
Two men, usually. With Ben Penny and Lester Schumann. Lester Schumann was the brother-in-law. And they would make it whatever we were running out of. They would do it maybe three or four times a week during the summertime.
Can you tell me a little bit about the equipment that they used? For example, I've heard something about Big Bertha. Can you talk to me about that?
Now, that one I don't know. I don't know Big Bertha. But we had the pasteurization plant, the machine there, and then we had a huge bottle washing machine that went through, and they were the best. Then the farmers, the area farmers, would bring their milk in every morning to the dairy. And there, the milk was dumped into a large vat, it was weighed, and it was tested. It took butterfat and so on. And the farmers were paid according to what their milk tested and weighed. Mm-hmm. And that was seven days a week.
Can you talk to me about this space a little bit? What did it look like? What did the building look like?
Well, inside the actual dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're looking at it from the road, on the right was where the milk came into the building, where the farmers brought it in. It was dumped, weighed, and so on, and then it went into the pasteurization machines. Mm-hmm. And then it came out of there, and there was a huge bottling machine, and of course it was bottled and capped, and then we had to take the bottles that you all put them in cases and wheel them into the cooler.
What did the ice cream shop look like?
That was small, but compared to the dairy, it was small, but it was right back of the retail little building in the front. It was right in the back, and not too big, but the one machine in there that made the ice cream. And we had a very high quality ice cream. I mean, it had a good butterfat. Today they don't do that much. Pam does, but but we had competition. We were not the only ice cream bar around here. There were several over in Center Brunswick. You had Duncan's down the road here. You had Jordan's, but we were the best, and we sold the most ice cream in the summertime. That lot and the road on a hot summer night would be packed with cars. Now remember, in those days, 39, Everyone was poor. Not everyone, but the average family, they were just struggling along with low prices and so on. So this was a big treat to come out. This, we were just far enough out of the city so that the families could, it was a nice little summer ride out here, and they could get their ice cream and just enjoy the area. It wasn't built up. It's not like today. There was just the farms. It was all farms out Spring Avenue. Mm-hmm. Today it's all built up with houses. Our farm is now Spring Landing, all new homes. Mm-hmm. At my grandmother's farm. Yeah. Personal on this, when my four uncles wanted to start the dairy, none of them had any money, just a few dollars. And of course, my grandmother died at 23. This is nothing. My grandmother had a little, not a lot, but they were trying to get it from the bank and so on, anywhere they could. And it was one reason why my father didn't go in with it, because they wanted him to put up his farm as collateral. And he said, no way. In case they go under, he'd lose his farm too. So he said, no way. He wasn't going in with them. That's why he did not. He probably would have replaced Ben Petty if that and come about. But my grandmother ended up giving them most everything she had, which was $25,000. And they built that dairy. And fortunately, it was a success, and they paid her all back.
Yay!
Yeah. But, It was very tight. It was very close in there. One of the brothers, Clifford, he owned a house here on Spring Avenue. And they wanted him to put up the house too. His house and my father's farm. And he wouldn't put up his house either. He said no. But Grandma did.
How did they come to get this dairy property?
Well, they inherited it. Oh, okay. That came from my grandfather. My grandmother and grandfather bought that farm. It was 85 acres. And they bought that. They got married in 1886. And they met here in Brunswick on the Patton Farm over on Pine Woods Avenue. And my grandmother went to work there as a housekeeper. And my grandfather worked taking care of the cattle. The Patton Farm was a big, big farm then. And they met there and got married. And then it was about early 1890s, they bought this farm right across from where the dairy was built. The house was right across from where the dairy was built. And they didn't pay a lot for it. But as my mother said, in the wintertime, it'd be mighty cold and so on. And she and her sister's bed was next to the window. And she says, many a morning, cold winter, snowy morning, she'd wake up and there would be snow on the bottom of her bed where it had blown in through the windows.
Which uncle was called Cy?
Elmer. Elmer Wager. Okay. Yep. His wife was Polly. Uncle Cy and Aunt Polly.
How'd he get the nickname?
That I can't tell you, because I don't know. He had the nickname as long as I can remember, and so did my aunt.
Okay.
Yep. Uncle Cy and Aunt Polly. They were a family tradition. They were great people. He lived to be the oldest of the brothers. He wasn't the youngest, but yes, he was. He was the youngest too. But he lived to be the oldest. He died. He was 83 when he died.
Do you know the order of the brothers? Can you tell us?
Oh, like, yeah.
Who was the oldest?
And... yeah, Freeman was the oldest.
Okay.
And then William, and then Clifford, and then Elmer. Okay. And there were three girls, Jessie, Grace, and Audna. Grace was my mother. Audna was Lester Schumann's wife, the one who was a part of the dairy.
Who lived around the farm? Who lived around them? Do you know the neighbors?
Sure. Very interesting. Most of their children built, right? My father and mother bought the farm just down the road. Mm-hmm. My Uncle Clifford built the house right next door to the dairy. Uncle Cy lived with my grandmother. William lived in the house, the other side. It was known as the tenant house, the other side of the barn. Freeman did live in the city. He married a city girl, and she owned a house in the city. It came from her parents, two-family house on Hutton Street. But he had to drive out here every morning, 7 days a week, because he had a retail milk group. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what the weather was, he got out here to get his truck and get it all loaded up and go back to the city and deliver milk.
When you say the city, can you tell us which city you mean?
Troy. Everything was in Troy. Yep. Waterville Lake. Then we go over to Waterville Lake and Cahos. Not too much there. We had quite a bit in Waterville Lake. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Who worked in the barn that was between Grandma Wagner and William?
Who what?
Who worked in the barn that was between...
They always had two hired men. Yeah, and then Uncle Cy, Uncle Will, they ran the farm. But they hired Seth. He was there he came to work, I think, in the 30s. And he was there when they sold the farm. In fact, he came to work for us. My two uncles, after my grandmother died, she died in 1959. And she left the farm and the two houses to Uncle Will and Uncle Cy. And my mother and the rest of the family children, they inherited a few dollars. But they always had the two men working there. They milked about 60 head, about 30 head of cattle. And then they would raise replacement stock. So there was about 60 head of cattle there most of the time. Right after my grandmother, well, even before my grandmother died, they sold their cattle. And my father and I moved our cattle over there because our farm wasn't big enough. And then we increased our number of cattle to 60 head also. Yep. It might be interesting to know that 85-acre farm was sold in 1964 for $45,000. The 85 acres. Yeah, now it's worth a fortune. But they graded off one whole side and built Spring Landing in there. All those lovely homes, all of them worth in the 200,000 range. But that was all sold in 64. And that my Aunt Polly and I was very close to Aunt Polly and Uncle Si. And they lived, their retirement house is three doors down. I'm at 12, they were at 6 McGill Avenue. And they would go to Florida every winter. But other than that, they would come back here in the spring. And then my aunt got sick. So, towards the end of their lives, they didn't go to Florida anymore. They stayed right here. But I looked after them. That's why I bought this house, because I was looking after them.
Going back to the dairy and the ice cream shop, can you remember the prices? Like, what was the price of milk and what was the price of the ice cream that you sold?
That's hard to... I was thinking about that before you even came here. I'm not quite sure, but milk, it just seems to me was like 12 cents and 15 cents a quart in there. And it was, yes. I actually am not sure.
Okay.
Of what it was, but very inexpensive. 12 cents sticks in my mind, but I can't be sure.
Can you remember how much the ice cream scoop was?
Yeah. Not exactly, but we had a big scoop, I think, for a quarter, and the little scoops were like a dime, you know, the small and so on. And a brown cow, that also would be a quarter or something in there, yeah.
How many years did you scoop ice cream?
Pardon?
How many years did you work there scooping ice cream?
Well, we started in 39. I worked till the war. Then when they shut the ice cream down.
Okay.
And then we started it up a little while after the war. So I worked there a little bit then. But that was just summer work, so...
Can you tell me about during the war, when they shut it down? Why did they do that?
Well, couldn't get gas. Couldn't get gas. Anyone couldn't get gas to get out here. Everything was rationed. So.
So when did the dairy close? I think you already said 1964 or something like that.
No, it closed before that.
Oh.
It closed before that, and I can't give you an exact date on that. It gradually slowed down.
Okay.
And was finally sold. Benjamin Petty, he took it over. My one uncle died, Freeman. He died young, fairly young. He was only in his 50s. And... My other Si and Will, they wanted to drop out and so on. And I can't tell you exactly when it was sold, because I honestly don't remember anymore. But I would say in the 50s. It was all gone when my grandmother died in 59. So I think we're close to that.
Because I remember, or Ben Pinney Jr. told me that the last time they pasteurized was in 1964.
64?
1964, because that's when Ben Pinney Jr. went to go work for Ag and Markets.
That could be. I'm not sure in there.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be. I actually don't remember. So, it's close, and it could very well be 64.
Do you remember, Mr. Warren, do you remember the Wager Brothers that was over in Avil Park, over by the post office? Do you remember that one?
They made ice cream.
Well...
Wager Brothers, that were in Troy. Mm-hmm. There was no relation to us.
Okay, and tell me about that, because people get confused sometimes about that.
Pardon?
Tell me about that, because some people think that they're one and the same.